On the phone line with us is Dan Zwicker. He's at CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana, for the sixth day of March. Good afternoon to you, Dan. When we were talking with you this morning, we discussed, and we'll go back through these numbers just a bit, what you think the carryout might look like for the corn. But we didn't quite get to your carryout for the ending stocks number for soybeans. Can you go through that one for me real quick?
Well, the issue that we have going on in old crop soybeans is exports sales. Even today, a lot of sales from other countries other than China. We've got total export sales now about 1610. USDA has in their recent balance sheet for February was like 1510. So we're about 100 million bushels above what USDA has on their balance sheet to get to 150 million bushels. So if you subtract that 100 over sale in exports, technically within we're only at 50 million bushel on the carryout. So we know that the function of the market then is to reach a price level to get those cancellations going in soybeans and switch the business to South America, or prices have to get to the point where U.S. consumers will buy South American beans instead of U.S. beans to meet their crushing needs and crushing capacities, and maybe even turn around and re-export. So we know at least at the moment the balance sheet in soybeans is very tight. We could find some beans on the March 31st report, and that's, I guess, the open question. Last year, I think we did find some beans. We could find out that we got more beans around than what we think, and that could help cushion that. But if USDA doesn't find any beans, I think, on that March report, then it'll definitely give a green light then for the market bulls of old crop beans to try to seek out a price level that would see that would generate some sales cancellations at some point in time.
Well, it seems that the marketplace has been, well, we have driven prices higher from what a recent low of $12.60 in the March contract, I guess, up to $14.37.5, been pretty calm about this process given what it knows about the marketplace. So is there something there to the idea that there are more beans around and that production was higher, or something else is not using beans as quickly? What do you think?
Well, I mean, everybody knows that the yields came in much better than what everybody thought. Now, the big question is, and I guess that's the question, is USDA's harvest acreage number correct? Did we harvest more acres or did we harvest less acres? But we don't know. We do know that the yields probably are pretty good. So,
right. But it's unlikely that they would change the harvested acres anywhere, isn't it? I mean,
if they're overstating the crop, they would. If the crop is actually smaller, then maybe we didn't harvest as many acres. Or if the crop is bigger, maybe we harvested more acres. And the December stocks report, I just view that as kind of a starting point. The important one now, halfway through the marketing year, so we should get a decent reading on what implied disappearance is, and it would indicate, you know, whether or not USDA is in the ballpark on the production numbers or off. We'll find that out after we sort out what the stocks number is, when we get that information. But right now, just looking what we know things are very tight in the soybean market. They're getting tighter in corn, but they're not at anything like what we were the past couple of years. The Ukraine situation has, kind of put a little different perspective on the market. Nobody really knows how that is going to be impacted longer term. But I do know the trade was expecting to export a lot of corn and wheat out of the Ukraine to meet world demand. If there's something that comes along and complicates that, then that generates more demand for U.S. product or South American product. So I think that's got the market stirred up. And then, of course, the South American soybean crop has gotten smaller on the trade. So we've had some fundamental reasons why this market has come to life here during the month of February. There's a lot of other things out there that could be bearish also.
So I know you well enough to know that you always tell us that the chart points are the places that the chart is headed. And that those are places on the map, and eventually the market will tell us what the fundamental reasons, if there are any, to get to those points. Once we started, and you saw this drive coming about a month ago, I think. So what chart points have we met at this point, and what are the upside objectives yet?
As far as new crop goes, we've at least met the minimum. The bear market minimum for a bear market rally. Now, I think there's enough.
This is for corn or for soybeans?
For both corn and soybeans. Okay. I think this move to 1180, 1190 on November beans is, at least that is noticeable on the charts. The move to this 485, 488 level on corn is noticeable. Now, I had a head and shoulder objective on these corn about 495. And then if you get into key retracement levels, 505 to 525 is definitely going to be a hard spot, in the chart. I think in order to slice through that, the perception of supply demand is going to have to change. And, that March 31st report can change a lot of perceptions. And by then, we'll probably have a little better idea of what the spring weather pattern is going to be, how late we're going to get off to a start, or maybe we're not going to be late at all. Who knows? Things can change real quickly this time of year. We know we're not going to the field tomorrow. You look out your window. So I think some of the bare minimum prices for farmers that were looking for spots to maybe get started. I'm not opposed to doing some minor selling in here. I would rather use a put option based type contract than probably a hedge or a cash forward sale at this point. But I just think that the market has a little more to it. Like I said, at least 5-something on these corn, November beans, maybe 12, 20. 1240 is going to be an awful stiff resistance if we would get up to that point. So those would be some targets that I think are possibly attainable anyway.
Both well above the crop insurance numbers. So
yeah,
Worth protecting.
Yeah, I think so. I think the crop production or the crop insurance is a very good product, but it's not a substitute for marketing. You still have to market your grain. So it's definitely a good marketing tool. It should be used in a marketing plan, and that's what a lot of farmers haven't really made that next step. They bought the crop insurance, and now they got to make the next step. And that is trying to develop a marketing plan based upon their risk level. Some guys, can run the risk and see how this market performs all the way into May, June, July. We may have enough juice in this market to take it into an average seasonal type drive into June. I don't necessarily see that. I'm more inclined to think the high could come just as easily during the first 4 months of the year, which means, maybe we got another 6 weeks yet to see how this thing plays out. But once the crop is planted, then it's hard to make the market go up unless you get into a severe weather problem during June or July.
Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us today.
Farewell.
That's Dan Zwicker. He's with CGB Enterprises out of Mandeville, Louisiana. Joins us on the closing market report for this Thursday afternoon.